Blog Talk Radio. how he loves us. Oh, how he loves.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Prolific Fire. Thank you for taking the time to join me on tonight. I pray that the word of the Lord will be a blessing to you on tonight. The songs that I played tonight to open up the service were How He Loves by David Crowder Band and My God by Mallory Hope. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody, whether you're on the phone lines, online, on the podcast, listening through Twitter or Facebook, whether you're listening live or later, I thank you and appreciate you so much. Now let's get right into it for tonight.
Father God, on tonight, God, I thank you, Lord God, for giving me the strength, God, to sit here on Prolific Fire, right here before your people on Block Talk Radio tonight. Lord God, to tell them what thus says the Lord. God, I ask that you sit me down, God, and you use me to your benefit, God, however you see fit, Lord God. Speak through me, Lord God, that your people, that somebody, Lord God, will get the healing that they need, God, from church hurt, God. Heal somebody on tonight, because it is a real issue, God. In the name of Jesus, look up on your people. Touch like only you can. In the name of Jesus, to God, to your name be the glory. Amen. Tonight, the foundational text comes from Psalms 55, 12 and 14. That's Psalms 55, 12 and 14 from the NIV. This is David speaking. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it's you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked about among the worshipers. Years ago, I remember telling someone, an attack is not an attack unless it comes from the inside. Years ago, I remember telling someone, an attack is not an attack unless it comes from the inside, from someone close to you. Why? Because for the most part, you really don't care about what those who don't know you, who are not close to you, have to say. But it's those who are close to you that can do the most damage. But it's those that are close to you that can do the most damage, because you do care. And that's what David is saying here in tonight's foundational text. The reason it hurt so bad is because it was an inside attack from someone I was close to, someone I fellowship with at the church, in the church, and considered to be a brother. David said the reason it hurt so bad is because it was an inside attack from someone I was close to, someone I fellowshiped at the church, in the church with, and considered to be a brother. It was you, not my enemies or a foe, insulting me. David said, I would know how to take it if it was an enemy or a foe, but it's you. If the attack, the insult, the hurt had come from anybody else, but it's you. This thing is blowing my mind, because you were supposed to know me better than that, know God better than that. After all, we were a part of the house of God together. We were a part of the house of God. You were a part of the house of God with me. We were a part of the same church, among the same group of worshipers. We walked together. We talked together. I considered you to be just like me. And this is what you do. We say we think of them as being just like us, but really we don't. God corrected me about that in my spirit. We say we think of them as being just like us, but really we don't. Truth be told, there are certain ones, not everybody, but there are certain ones in the church we look at like they're super spiritual. There are certain ones in the church that we look at like they're super spiritual and can do no wrong. And when they do us wrong, when they mistreat us, when they unfairly judge us, we're hurt. Like David, we don't quite know how to take it. When that happens, we're hurt, and like David, we don't quite know how to take it. Because now we know, we've had a reality check, and now we know that even the pastor, that mother, sister or brother in the church, that deacon even, in the church can sin. Still mess up like the rest of us. Now, in all fairness, Jesus did warn us in Scripture in Luke 18. Jesus did warn us in Scripture in Luke 18. when a certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus' response was, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. No one is good except God alone." That's Luke 18, verses 18 and 19 from the NIV. No one is good except God alone. See there? Jesus warned us that every man, every woman has faults, has flaws, has issues. They're still dealing with something. Just because they're in the church, that doesn't mean anything. They're still human. They're not super spiritual. They're still human. Therefore, every man, every woman has faults, has flaws, has issues they're still dealing with. No one is good, 100% good all the time. No one except God alone. Oh, but us being young in Christ, naive in Christ, maybe both, being young in Christ and naive in Christ and in his word, we missed the whole warning and ended up hurt. Hurt because of our own expectations. If we're honest on tonight, we were hurt because of our own expectations. We expected them to do us better than that. Hurt because of our own expectations. Hurt because on some level, unbeknownst to us, we had started idolizing the God in that person. Because on some level, unbeknownst to us, we had started idolizing the God in that person instead of the God that went to the cross, was buried and resurrected, and is coming again. On some level, unbeknownst to us, we had started idolizing the God in that person instead of the God that went to the cross, was buried, who resurrected and is coming again. And again, God warned us, you must not make for yourself an idol of any kind. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind. Exodus 20 and 4 from the New Living Translation. But unbeknownst to us, especially at the time, we make idols of people by putting them too high up in our thinking. We make idols of people by putting them too high up in our thinking, by putting them on a level in our mind that they can't possibly maintain. And when they fail to maintain the level, maintain the way we've come to think of them, when they show us that they're human too, and they can be wrong too, we end up hurt because that's not what we expected of them. Surely not him. Surely not her. Not that brother right there. Not that sister right there. Not the pastor, Lord. Surely not them. We end up hurt because that's not what we expected of them. After all, they know God. Here comes our excuse, how we rationalize it in our head. After all, they know God. They have been saved for years. They be at church every Sunday. They know the word. Somebody, you never thought that mother in the church of all people would judge you, form an unfair opinion of you, and completely cut you off, and begin to treat you like you got the plague or something. But that's exactly what she did. You never thought that mother in the church of all people would judge you, form an unfair opinion of you, and completely cut you off. But that's exactly what she did. You never thought that brother, that sister in the church would be the one hurling insults at you, would be the one telling your business, the one talking about you behind your back, putting your name out there like that. But that's exactly what they did. That's exactly what happened. You never thought you'd have someone sitting up looking crazy at you in the church. Now here goes one that nobody really ever thought about, but it happens. You never thought you'd have someone sitting up looking crazy at you in the church, acting like they're jealous of you in the church, but it happened. Every Sunday, you fellowshiped with them. You worshiped alongside them. Like David in tonight's foundational text, they were your closest friend in the church, to the point that you considered them a real brother, a real sister that you could trust. And you never, 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 never in a million years thought it would be them, that they would be the one to do you like that. But love, the fact that they know God shouldn't even be a factor. I said it. But love, the fact that they know God shouldn't even be a factor in our thinking as to what they will do and won't do. You know I like to make you think on Prolific Fire, right? If you're not new to Prolific Fire, then surely you know I like to make you think on Prolific Fire. So think about this. For all of you who say they know God, they did me like that, but they know God, and you don't understand how they could do you like them, and they know God. Think about this. Judas knew Jesus. Judas knew Jesus, but knowing Jesus didn't stop him from selling him out. Knowing Jesus didn't stop Judas from conspiring with Jesus' enemies to get him arrested. Judas knew Jesus. He was one of his disciples. He walked with him. He talked with him. He fellowshipped with him. That's why he knew where to find him when it was time to sell him out and get him arrested. Jesus was Judas's mentor. Judas knew Jesus. He knew him, but knowing Jesus didn't stop him from selling him out. Knowing Jesus didn't stop him from conspiring with Jesus' enemies to get him arrested. Read John 18, and you'll see how it all went down. So why should we expect the fact that they know God, that they know Jesus, to mean anything different for us? So why should we expect the fact that they know God, they know Jesus, to mean anything different for us? It doesn't. It's the same old thing. As it says in Ecclesiastes 1:9, there's nothing new under the sun. But love, this is nothing new. It just got a name. It was going on. It didn't have the name Church Hurt, but it was going on. Like Ecclesiastes 1:9 said, there's nothing new under the sun. It's sad to say, but it's true. It's sad to say, but it's true. You can still be betrayed in the church, sold out in the church. The only difference is back in that day, when Judas did it to Jesus, there was no term such as church hurt. Back in the day, when Saul did it to David, after David had been faithfully serving him, after David had been faithful to serve him, after he had been Saul's armor bearer, been Saul's personal worship leader, and played the evil spirit off of him. How does he repay David? He repays him by throwing spears at his head, literally. After David had been his armor bearer, had served him, had been his personal worship leader, and played the evil spirit off of him, how does he repay David? He repays him by throwing spears at his head, literally. But still, there was no term such as church hurt. Read 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 1 Samuel chapter 18 from the NIV. I feel like telling somebody on tonight that it's going to be okay. I feel you. I feel like you can relate to David. You served your man or woman of God faithfully. I mean, you were faithful to them. You served your man and woman of God faithfully. and you really believe that you are doing it unto the Lord. You served your man and woman of God faithfully. You served in the church, served as the worship leader. You served as the armor bearer at one point. Supposedly, you were the closest person to your leadership at that time. And how were you repaid? When you needed them to be there for you, to reach out to you, the church went silent on you. When you needed them to reach out to you to be there for you, the church went silent. They ghosted you. It's just like you didn't even exist. It's just like you didn't even exist or they didn't care. They ghosted you, plain and simple. Either way, it hurts. Because as long as you were serving them, there wasn't a problem. Oh, no. As long as you were serving them and they were getting what they needed, there wasn't a problem. But it became a problem when you needed some of what you had given to them, when you needed some of that back, some of that same attention, some of that same care, some of that same concern. When you needed some of what you had given back, it became a problem. They started throwing spears at your head. In your case, it was a mental attack. Sounded out verbally in the things they would say to you. Wrong words hurt. How many know wrong words hurt? Wrong actions hurt. Or could it be that no words and no actions is really what's hurting after everything you've given to the church? Church hurt. That's what we're talking about on tonight. Church hurt. Years ago, there was no term known worldwide as church hurt. We just kind of bled in silence. Not wanting to expose the hurt that goes on in the church. Disclaimer. Here comes my disclaimer, my one disclaimer for tonight. I'm not talking about that time the pastor corrected you. If anybody loves pastors, Prophet Stacy loves pastors. So I'm not talking about that one time the pastor corrected you because you were wrong. That's what a good pastor, a good father, a good mother does. But those of you who have been unfairly judged, mistreated, done wrong in the church, this is for you. But this is for those of you who have been unfairly judged, mistreated, done wrong in the church. Perhaps you were done wrong by a pastor. Well, that makes him or her not a good pastor. So they're exempt from what I just said. Oh, yes, I'm talking about them. But for the good pastors, I'm not talking about you, pastor. But if you have hurt somebody, misjudged them, unfairly treated them, then I'm talking to you because you've done them wrong, and you've done them wrong in the church. And for those of you that have experienced this is for you. And to be quite honest on tonight, I can relate. This word is ministering to me as much as it is to you. So how do you deal with church hurt of all things and places? You see, we expect to get hurt on the job, disrespected by the boss, talked about by coworkers, but not in the church too. Coworkers, labels in Christ. We must do better. This should never have to been a subject. This should have never have been a subject that needed to be addressed, but it is a subject, an issue, a problem that needed to be addressed. This should have never have been something that needed to be addressed. You know, Politify, we deal with real issues using the Bible as a reference, but this shouldn't have been one of the issues. But unfortunately, it had to be. Because it is a subject, it is an issue, it is a problem that many have experienced, including myself. So here we go. How to deal with church hurt, the title of tonight's message. That's the official title of tonight's message. How to deal with church hurt. Number one, you deal with church hurt by repenting. That's right, you repent. Even though you're the one carrying the hurt, repent of having that pastor, that mother of the church, that brother or sister in the church too high up in your thinking, as if they could do no wrong. You need to repent. Beloved, you need to repent. I know you're the one carrying the hurt, but you need to repent. Repent of having that pastor, that mother of the church, that brother or sister in the church too high up in your thinking, as if they could do no wrong. They're not God. Hear me, they're not God. Only God is God. So you need to repent of how highly you thought of them. Number two, change your perspective. Number two, change your perspective. See that person that hurt you as a person. You finally, for real, need to see that person that hurt you as a person. Not a person in the church. See them as just a person, not a person with a title, but just a person who may have known better, but didn't do better. See them just as a person, not a person with a title, but just as a person who may have known better, but didn't do better. Hear me on this one. A person is not their title. A person is not their title, but if deliverance doesn't hit their life. Oh, but if deliverance doesn't hit their life, they will continue to be the name that's on their birth certificate. So if that name says John, if that name says Mary, if that name says Sam, if that name says Tina, whatever that name says on the birth certificate, if deliverance doesn't hit their life, they will continue to be the name that's on their birth certificate. And that person, that name that's on the birth certificate before Christ is so far from being perfect. Number three, okay, number one was repent. Number two was change your perspective. Number three, pray for them. The Bible says pray for those who mistreat you. Even though it may be hard right now, especially if the pain is still fresh, but pray for them. Luke 6:28. And if you can't pray for them, contact me, and I will pray for them on your behalf. Tell me what's going on, and I will pray for them on your behalf. But pray for them, those that have mistreated you. Luke 6:28 from the NIV. How to deal with church hurt. Number four, pray for yourself. That's right, pray for yourself. Keep your heart before God in prayer. Keep your heart before God in prayer. Pray for yourself. Lamentations 2:19 from the NIV. Arise, crying in the night, as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. I love that scripture. One of the many things that's well noted about Jesus in Scripture is how he often went away somewhere by himself to pray. One of the things that's well noted about Jesus in Scripture is how he often went away somewhere by himself to pray. After dealing with the disciples and just people in general, Jesus had to take some time out for prayer. Because remember, when Jesus was on this earth, he was both God and man, and he walked the earth as man. So therefore, he experienced, the Bible says he went through the things that we went through, but he did not sin. But that doesn't mean he didn't feel the same things that we felt. He just didn't sin. After dealing with the disciples and just people in general, Jesus had to take some time out for prayer, to pray for himself. Time out to keep his heart before the Lord so that he wouldn't be affected by the wrong that people did, so that he wouldn't be affected by the wrong people did, even back then. Because remember, the Bible says that nothing is new under the sun. And that scripture I just read about Jesus in prayer was Luke 5:16 from the New Living Translation. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Notice, and this is number five, in how to deal with church hurt. Jesus didn't go to the temple every time he needed to pray. Jesus didn't go to the temple every time he needed to pray, meaning that Jesus had a relationship with God outside of the temple. That's important. Jesus had a relationship with God outside of the temple, outside the church. Number five, have a relationship with God outside of the church. Pray at home. That way, no one can say you're praying just for a show or an act. It's for real. As my mama said, for real. It's for real. Number six, don't hold God responsible for the people of God's actions. Don't hold God responsible for the people of God's actions. Many have heard and chose to ignore the Holy Spirit's conviction because many of the people of God, many who have done you wrong, they have heard and chose to ignore the Holy Spirit's conviction. I know the Bible says that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. But condemnation and conviction are two different things. No, Jesus will not condemn you, but he will convict you, as in correct you. And many have heard and chose to ignore the Holy Spirit's conviction. Others, honestly, they honestly don't believe they have done anything wrong. They believe you just up and left their church. Oh, yes. They honestly believe they have done nothing wrong. They believe that you just up and left their church. They can't see or hear anything the Holy Spirit is saying. They can't see. That's why you need to pray for them, because they can't see or hear anything the Holy Spirit is saying that would suggest otherwise. Again, pray for them. And don't hold God responsible for the people of God's actions. That would be like somebody unfairly holding you responsible, holding God responsible for the actions of the people. Holding him responsible for the people of God's actions would be like somebody holding you responsible, unfairly holding you responsible for the actions of every member in your family. That would be like somebody holding you responsible for the actions of every member of your family. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you don't want nobody holding you responsible for everything that your family members did, every one of your family members, because they are of your family, don't do God like that. Don't hold him responsible for the actions of the people that call themselves the people of God. Don't do that. Number seven, don't let yourself become a product of a hurt. I think this is my favorite point for tonight. Don't let yourself become a product of a hurt. Instead, give to others what you wish had been given to you. Don't let yourself become a product of the hurt. Don't let yourself become a product of the church hurt. Instead, give to others what you wish would have been given to you. Don't judge people. Don't mistreat people just because you've been mistreated. Don't judge people. Don't mistreat people. Don't be so quick to cut people off just because that mother in the church cut you off, just because that brother cut you off, that sister cut you off, the pastor did you wrong even, or whoever. Don't be so quick to cut people off. Don't insult or tell people's business just because it happened to you in the church. Don't act flaky or jealous of people, but show love and concern. Show love and concern. The Bible says, with love and kindness have I drawn you. And God expects us, no matter what has been done to us, he still expects us to rise to the occasion when we have the opportunity to show love and kindness, to show love and concern. Show people you will be there. Show people that you will be there for them. Just because you were ignored, just because people left your life, just because people let you down, don't you do that to somebody else. If it's in your ability not to do that, to stop that from happening, don't do that. Show people you will be there. Sow agape love into somebody's life. After tonight's message, show agape love into somebody's life. Make it a point. Make it your responsibility. Make it your business to sow agape love to people who need it the most. Number eight, last but not least, I hear this in my spirit. When you're ready, do not forsake to assemble yourself together. Well, it's there. I don't know why I need to say it like that, but I hear it in my spirit like that. Do not forsake to assemble yourself together, whether it's there or somewhere else. There are some Christians, some believers out here who are not perfect, but they're not harmful either. We're not perfect, but we're not harmful either in our attempt, in their attempt, to be all that God wants them to be. So God has a people for you. He does. After the hurt, and there is life after the hurt. God has a people for you. Let me recap the points right quick. You can go back and listen to the replay, but I'm just going to recap it right quick. Number one was repent. Because you had that pastor, that mother, that brother, that sister in the church too high up in your thinking, so you need to repent because the Bible tells us clearly to not have idols. Number two was change your perspective. Just because they have a title, they are not their title. They're still the person whose name is on their birth certificate, especially if deliverance doesn't hit their life. They're going to be every bit of that person if deliverance doesn't hit their life. So keep them in prayer. That's number three, pray for them. Number four was pray for yourself. Keep your heart before God in prayer. And a scripture that I love, Lamentations 2:19, NIV, check that out. And number five was have a relationship with God outside of the church. Pray at home so that nobody can accuse you that your prayer life is just for show and act. It's for real. So pray at home. Have a relationship with God outside of the church. Number six, don't hold God responsible for the people of God's actions. That's unfair. Number seven, don't let yourself become a product of the hurt. Don't let yourself become a product of the hurt. And last but not least, as I said, I hear this in my spirit, do not forsake to assemble yourself together. Whether it's there or somewhere else, there are Christian believers out there waiting to love on you, to do the right thing by you. As I said, we may not be perfect. We're not perfect, but we're not harmful either. In closing, remember this. I want you to remember this in closing. A heart that helps others tends to heal quicker than one that is only focused on self-recovery. A heart that helps others tends to heal quicker than one who is only focused on self-recovery. Let's pray. Father God, we repent for having thought too highly of a certain person within the church, unknowingly making them an idol. Help us to see them as just people, the same as us, with the potential to miss a mark just like us. Help us to not become a product of the hurt that has been done to us, and to not do to others what has been done to us. Help us not to close our heart to God. Help us not to close our heart to you or to the things of God, and to move forward, not forgetting to assemble ourselves when we're ready. Give us the strength to pray for those who mistreated us, who judged us unfairly, and then cut us off. And give us the zeal to always pray for ourselves, to always keep ourselves before you, Father, in prayer. I ask you tonight, God, to heal the hurt. I come against every hindrance opposed to your healing. Somebody, I come against every hindrance that's opposed to your healing, opposed to you moving forward. There's life after this, somebody. In the name of Jesus, I release peace, the peace of God over every listening ear on tonight, on over everybody that's listening in. This type of hurt, it will heal. I've been through it, and the Lord healed me, and he's going to heal you too. This concludes the message for tonight. I pray that somebody receives healing on tonight. I pray that somebody sees what happened to them in a new light, that you change your perspective on some things, and that you will go forward from this night, aside from the pain. If you need prayer or Bible-based consultation, you can always call or text 865-408-8690. That's 865-408-8690 or email propertystacy@prolificfire.com. But it's propertystacy@prolificfire.com. But if you're somebody listening to me, you have that old email address, which is prolificfire.com. No, is it prolificfire.com? I'll still get it. No, I think the old email address is prolificfire@gmail.com. If you have that email address, I'll still get it. Prolificfire.com is the website. But if you have the old email address, which is prolificfire@gmail.com, or if you use this email address, which is propertystacy@prolificfire.org, I will still get it. Either way, that's fine. I'll call the number 865-408-8690. However, if you're on the phone lines right now via Blog Talk Radio, I do not believe that you are on the phone tonight for nothing, for in vain, that this was your word and you need prayer for something else as well. And if that's you, if you need prayer for something other than what was just mentioned on tonight, because you should receive that by faith. If so, just press 1 on your phone and I will be right with you after these last two announcements. If you need prayer for something other than what has just been mentioned, press 1 on your phone and I will be right with you. If you need this ministry PayPal info or Cash App info, go to paypal.me/prolificfire, paypal.me/prolificfire, or the Cash App, which is the dollar symbol in Prolific Fire. The P in Prolific is capital, as well as the F in Fire, written all together, the dollar symbol, Prolific Fire. As usual, you can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Property Stacy, like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page, or check out prolificfire.com. As I said, that's the website, prolificfire.com. Many of the things I name, like donating, sending in your prayer request, all of that can be done on the website, as well as you, if you have pain, any type of pain, church hurt even, if you want to go deeper in your deliverance from church hurt, you need to reach out to me for a train the pain session. It's only $20, and I'll show you how to train the pain to work for you. The session is only $20. The Lord told me to lower the price to $20 for 2020. So if you need a session, go to the website, prolificfire.com, and sign up, and let's get this done. It's a one-on-one session, just me and you. It's private, just me and you and God doing what he told me to do. To God be the glory. Also, if you want to sponsor a child through Word Vision, I love sponsoring children. I've been doing it for over 20 years. I love building relationships with them. I love seeing them grow and change and become. Some relationships last for years. Some relationships are short, depends on the situation. But you make a lasting impact on a child's life, and you help them break the bondage of poverty. So if there's something that's on your heart that you want, that you love missions work, especially when it involves a child, if you want to become a World Vision sponsor, check that out on the website, prolificfire.com as well. Also on the website, I sponsor 7 children. Now, I'm not telling you to sponsor 7, just sponsor 1. I sponsor 7 children because the Lord prophesied over my life a long time ago and let me know that there will be a lot of children tied to my life. And I'm quite sure that I'm not done yet, because I can feel that the word is still fulfilling itself. So if that's you, if you just want to sponsor 1, we can get that done right there on the website, prolificfire.com. Then join us right here on Faith on the Line with Prophet Faith for prayer and encouragement. Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. I call in the number that many of you called tonight, 347-426-3782. 347-426-3782. Your prayer request will be taken then, too, so call in. If you don't get your prayer request in on tonight for whatever reason, that's your second opportunity. And as I have been known to say, even if you get your prayer request in tonight, still call back on Friday. You don't know what the Lord has for you in prayer on Friday. Call in and see. You can never get too much prayer. Then join me back here on Prolific Fire, same night, time, and place, when the message will be another real issue. This message is entitled Overcoming Bitterness. So if you're dealing with bitterness, fighting it, spirit trying to overcome bitterness, you need to tune in. Overcoming Bitterness. To God be the glory.
Call, I see you. I'm coming to you for your prayer request. Hello, you're on the air. And they hung up. Everybody else that's on the phone lines, if you need to go at this time, you can hang up. That's fine. I'm going to hang around just a few minutes to see if they're going to call back. Maybe it was a mistake. But if you need to go, you can hang up. That's fine. I pray that everybody was blessed by the word tonight. I know that I was, because that's a topic that, as I said, that I've been through, and they did call back.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? I was calling, and I just missed what was going on.
Say that again.
Okay, You were airing like three times today, and I just was calling, and I was basically I missed what was going on, what was the discussion.
Oh, you can go back and listen to it. We were talking about how to deal with church hurt.
Okay.
If you don't mind me asking you, where did you get this number from?
Off of Instagram.
Okay, tomorrow I will be posting how to go back and listen to the replay.
Okay.
But you can, if you need to listen to it before then, you can always go to back to blogtalkradio.com/prolificfire. That's blogtalkradio.com/prolificfire. Or like I said, tomorrow on Instagram, I will be posting about how to listen to the replay. It's also available on podcast, and I will give you the information tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you.
That's all you need for tonight? Okay.
Well,
you're welcome.
I've been overwhelmed, a lot of stress going on, anxiety.
Okay. Let's pray about that. Father,
okay.
God, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for my sister on tonight, Lord God. I ask that you give her your peace, Lord God, your peace that, Lord God, that surpasses all understanding, Lord God, that you get in her, Lord God, and overcome that anxiety. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come against anxiety attack, Lord God, that she will not lose her focus, Lord God. The stress will not overtake her, Lord God, but that she will be able to keep her composure no matter what's going on in her life, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you're going to give her the wisdom to overcome the enemy in her life. Whatever the enemy's trying to steal, kill, and to destroy, I thank you for giving her the wisdom to defeat the enemy, Lord God, in her life, God, and to keep going no matter what, to keep going and to stay strong, because she will win in the end. She already has the victory. She just needs to wait for it to manifest. And we thank you in advance for the manifestation. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I needed that.
You're welcome. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, it looks like this, everybody, for tonight. Thank you once again, everybody, for listening. Every supporter, every listener, everybody that's fine and still listening, but you think I don't know it. Thank you, too. To God be the glory. We out.